Hey, everybody. I am Adam Rank, your favorite fantasy analyst, and I am a diehard Bears fan, and you are listening to Bears Barroom Radio. Come meet me at Portillo's, and let's get it on.
The following program was recorded live and intended for all audiences.
The phone. A certain magic will always linger with the very name. It speaks of courage and fervor in the world's most brutal game. 55, worn by Doug Buffon, a Chicago Bear through and through. He demanded excellence of himself and anyone wearing navy blue.
You tell me what's going on. This is moronic. We're going to get our ass whipped all the way down the line. I want somebody to get kicked in the ass and get out there and play. You're getting paid to play this game. And play it right. I don't mind you getting beat. I got my ass whipped many times. But I tell you, I took somebody down with me. You are a professional team. Act like one, for God's sakes.
Football fans, this is Buffon 55. The John Buffon Show.
Hello and welcome to Buffon 55, a fast-paced approach at Chicago Bears football analysis. I am your host, John Buffon Barflies. It's great to be back. Whew, do we have a special one for you today. I am super jacked up for this one. It's a super special show for me personally, and I hope it's going to be a special one for you too. Breaking news, drop the beat, whatever you got to do. This is the first Buffon 55, where I welcome Bears Girl as my new producer and sidekick. Bears Girl, how you doing?
I am fantastic. Not only am I here with you on Wednesday nights now, but the mailman told me that Buffon 55 hoodie landed at your home today.
Oh man, let me tell you, the wait for the swag is over. I don't even know. I mean, I don't want to wear it because it's so nice, but I got to rep the show. I got to rep the brand. It is fantastic. And let me tell you, the cutoff on me, whoo, do I look good. But that's neither here nor there. We'll get into that later. But hey, I'm super excited to have you on here. Make no mistake, Bears Girl is the captain of this ship. I'm just the wacky waving inflatable arm guy at the front of the boat so the kids can stay occupied. She is driving this thing. I am excited to have you on board. Are you excited?
I am absolutely thrilled to be spending every Wednesday night for the next 20 weeks with you.
Oh man, I can feel the sincerity in your voice. I love that. Now, moving on to another special part of this show, our guest tonight, good golly, he is the George Halas of Chicago sports radio. He worked with my uncle, Doug Buffon. I don't need to say anything else. You already know who I'm talking about. He is, of course, Mr. Mike North. Mike, how you doing?
I am doing so good. If you know what it's like stealing, every day is like stealing. I'm watching a ball game, talking to you guys. Of course, I got the ball game on mute because I got to concentrate on what we're doing. John, it's good to be out with you and Bear Girl. I saw you today. I guess it was a large coffee pot in the locker room. You were in a towel or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what that contraption was. It's disturbing to me. I don't know what could be in there, but I'll tell you, it's fun. We picked up a couple sponsors for the bar room. We're happy to have the Verdoliak Law Group now and Bet Chicago, two prominent Chicago companies that want to be involved in the growing of Bears Bar Room. And I couldn't be happier to be on with you. I love your energy, and I love the network, and that's just the way it is.
I appreciate it, Mike. And you know what? That was actually a cryotherapy chamber I was in today. I'm trying to get my body right. I'm trying to freeze out all of the toxins and all the bad stuff in there. But it did look like I was in a big old bowl of soup. So,
I just got to tell you, I mean, I don't know what that's going to do for you. I mean, I'm worried about you. You look too good. You know what I mean? I mean, seriously, you got to sweat it out of you, but you got to take a jog. And it's walking around in a towel with a big urn in front of you. I mean, it's scary.
Hey, whatever intimidates. I'm all about
it. I get you.
It's all about the aesthetics. You know that, Mike. Now we're gonna get into this. We may not be the wise guys, but we're sure as hell gonna be the loud guys. I got a theme for you for this interview today. You talked about all this cutting edge stuff we're doing at the Barroom, so that's gonna be kind of the theme for this interview. It's innovation. Now you've seen the Bears 46 defense and what it did to revolutionize the defense of football. It led to some rule changes to protect quarterbacks, but you've also seen some other innovations over the years. So I'm gonna poke and prod you a little bit here. What do you think about Matt Nagy resting the starters? Is that kind of in the third preseason game? Is that innovation or is it idiocy? What's your take on resting the starters basically all throughout the preseason?
Well, it's basically because they don't want to be hurt. But what you do is, and if you're a boxer and your uncle was a boxer, I know you do boxing, you don't spar once a week. If you're going to have a title fight in 5 weeks, 6 weeks, you better be training and sparring at least six of those days or maybe five of those days. You throw in the road work. When you're practicing only once or twice a week, well, what you want is the game. Now, I don't know what happened to the adage, and I remember growing up and hearing this all the way through. We're tired of hitting each other because now we want to hit somebody else. Well, apparently that's out the window, but they're not even hitting each other anymore, and you wonder why there's an increase in injuries. Like I said, if Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson didn't train for Buster Douglas, sparred once or twice a week instead of 5 days a week, and the next thing you saw is he was picking his mouth guard up off a canvas, and he didn't know what day it was.
I agree to an extent to you, Mike, but also if you're sparring too close to the fight and you catch a glove to the eye and all of a sudden you're cut and you got to postpone the fight, you got to watch out for that too. So is there an equal balance of, you know, not practicing too much, or I should say not having too many preseason games, and then putting yourself at injury risk to go into week one? Because as you know, the NFL is a league of attrition. It doesn't matter if you have the most talented team in the world, it doesn't mean jack if your guys are in the training tent. So Does there need to be a happy balance there?
Well, I don't know why Belichick played Brady the other night.
That's true. He played him in the third quarter.
Yeah, I don't understand why all of a sudden, because the Bears and the Green Bay Packers don't play their guy, you know, Aaron Rodgers coming off an injury, I might be able to get that. But you're talking about a guy like Trubisky who's only taken 34 snaps and thrown 19 passes? Are you kidding me? Most of the prominent quarterbacks in the league played last week. I guess Matt Nagy's smarter than everybody else. We're just going to have to wait and see. It just seemed like a move to me, especially with a brand-new team, with four brand-new receivers who haven't even been on the field yet. And I'm supposed to believe they're going to go down to Green Bay and get the job done against a seasoned team that knows each other. I think it's the lack of familiarity. I get a kick out of hearing Brady say, I need the reps, and Trubisky doesn't. It's funny. It really is.
Yeah, and you know what? You're seeing some other teams kind of somewhat follow suit here. Is this kind of going to be the? You think this is going to be the future of the NFL? Do you think this is more of a message thing, or is this a thing that they're going to say either cut this down to two preseason games, or we're just not going to play?
Well, that's where they're going, John. They're going with the fact that I think they want to play 18 regular season games. I think that the expansion of the playoff thing might be off the pedal. They want to play 18 games and two preseason games. What I think is disturbing is that by doing that, they're going to actually endanger the players even more, because the practice time, I know things. Look, you don't hit your guy in practice the way you hit somebody else, a person that you don't know playing for another team. So I just think the safety thing is being overdone a little bit. I'm not saying there's not a good thing for safety. I just think it's being overdone. And when I hear Adam Amin and Jim Miller on the Bear telecast go, well, this is sort of commonplace right now in the National Football League. He was full of crap. That weekend when Trubisky sat, almost every team played their starters except a couple. So even the messaging is fake news, to be honest with you.
And we're talking to Mike North here on Buffon 55, we're talking about the future of the game and where we're kind of heading. What do you see as far as the future of football with these rule changes? You know, flags are flying like crazy. Guys who are doing what used to be perfectly formed tackles are getting flagged now. We're seeing the quarterback basically put in bubble wrap. You got some of those people on the other one side saying we're going to be playing flag football in 5 years. You got people on the other side saying, hey, we got to protect these guys. Where do you see the future of football with all of these rule changes? Are we down a slippery slope, or are we going in the right direction?
I think that we're overdoing it a little bit, but I'll also say this. I have a friend that works for Fox Radio, and I was on his show, and his name is Jonas Knox, and what he told me was he looked at films of Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher, and other players from 5 years ago, And most of their hits were helmet-first hits into the chest, and they would have all been penalized with the rules today. So the game is going to change drastically if they keep the rule in place. I thought they should table it, John, for a year. They're not going to table it, and I don't think it's going to go away. I've seen some perfectly legitimate hits. There's no way with the head on a swivel, on a stem called the neck, that you can put your head back. In fact, I think that's even endangering the guys more. And also, you're asking referees to basically say, you know what, to make a judgment call in a split second, and then they replay it, and then you say, how did they even make that call? Just another controversial thing, lack of leadership, in my opinion, in the National Football League, and they're really overdoing the safety deal. They really are. Because the game was the game. 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, it started to go down. And you know what? I understand there's a lot of other controversies, but to me the biggest controversy is the fact that really the hitting, they're trying to just avoid it at all costs, or even with the kickoffs.
Well, are we in a state of the NFL now where they're constantly chasing their tail because maybe they were negligent in the 70s and 80s and 90s, or they didn't disclose that this, you know, could cause concussions, which is a whole different thing altogether. We can get into that later on down the road. But is this basically now, you know, the NFL going chasing its tail, going back and forth, trying to win in the, you know, court of public opinion and just trying to cover their butts in the future so they don't have to pay another couple $1 trillion out in lawsuits?
It's all about the lawsuits. It's all about the players. It's all about guys that are supposed to be college graduates, supposed to have degrees, that are worried about what's going to happen to them 40 years from now. Look, you can. If you're a construction worker, there's a chance you're going to fall off a building. If you're an airplane pilot, yes, there is that chance you're going to crash. If you're walking down the street, you know what? A car could veer off the road and kill you. The fact that you're trying to legislate safety in what was once a savage game, all you have to do is watch films from the 60s and then watch a film now. They've made giant strides in safety. What I'm worried about is them continuing to go that route. When you start hearing players say, look, give us flags. You never used to hear the players say that. You'd hear the fans complain about it, and that's about it. You're hearing the players say it now. That tells me something.
Absolutely. And, you know, this, you know, it kind of starts at the top here. You know, when Roger Goodell came in as commissioner, I think fans, they liked him at first. They say, hey, he's the guy who's ruling with an iron fist. He took his shot at Pac-Man Jones, suspended him. He's the guy who's the no-nonsense commissioner. He's going to straighten everything out. And now you look a couple years down the road with the way he maybe handled the domestic violence issues and some other things. Now he's public enemy number one with the fans, and they can't stand him. So I'm going to ask you, Mike, is Roger Goodell good for the fans, or what is his effect, or what's going to be his legacy on this game?
Oh, his legacy. He's probably the worst commissioner in sports history. I mean, he's a guy who makes $44 million. Pac-Man Jones should have been expelled from the league for life for the stuff that he did earlier. Now, and he's continuously getting in trouble. He just had an altercation at the airport not that long ago. If I was commissioner, he would have been gone by now, number one. Number two, he's never around when the going gets tough, talking about Roger Goodell. The gutlessness of not even wanting to go to a playoff game because he's afraid he's going to be booed. He collects the big check, but you know what? He doesn't earn the check. The National Football League, not to have a domestic abuse policy. I mean, what kind of world does this guy live in when every other corporation had it? He screwed up everything with the Ray Rice situation. Where is the videotape, Mr. Commissioner? And on top of that, Deflategate is the biggest hoax in sports history, where you were missing an ounce of air. My God, all you have to do is take your car out on the road on a cold day, and it loses what Tom Brady reportedly did. It was a joke to go after him for no reason, except basically to try to even the score. Maybe the players' union wanted to see the Golden Boy go down, because that's the biggest hoax in history, that a guy got four games off because of football had a little less air in it.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it starts one way and then it goes 180 all the other way. We're getting a lot of good interaction here on the chat room. And Bears Girl, how are things going in that chat room? Any fire going on in there?
The chat room is loving Mike North. We have Father Crime saying, this is the first time I agree with Mike North. We have Badge 40 saying, North on fire, going after Goodell.
Oh,
yeah, baby. Sparkling. I love it, Bear Girl. Just give me the good news, please. But no, I'm serious. The game, look, the game, I think, from 60, I love the game. I watch Butkus. Butkus wouldn't even be allowed to play today. Somebody said the other day Butkus would go to prison for the way he plays. I go, are you kidding me? He would have gotten the death penalty. He would have gotten the death penalty. He wouldn't have even been able to play. There was just a different mix back then. These guys were playing yearly. They didn't have the big contracts. Big money has hurt the league, and you know what? But big money's helped the league too. So, you know what? I enjoy watching the game. I enjoy handicapping the game. I still love the game, but it's not the same. It isn't, not to me.
Well, no, I think if you showed a clip of today's football to those guys back in the 60s and 70s, they'd probably say, "What the hell is this?" So,
they don't even practice.
No,
they don't even prep. Ditka had two-a-days. I'm not talking that long ago. They had two-a-days in pads. And they won the Super Bowl. So I'm not saying that it's got to be that way now, but, like, John, you're a boxer. Your Uncle Doug was a boxer. Doug used to tell – we used to talk about boxing all the time, and Doug loved my analogy of sparring. You've got to spar in order to be ready to take hits. You can't have a soft body when the other guy's been sparring every day. And, you know, some teams practice harder than other teams. But the Bears, they just seem to be nonchalant. When I see hear Kyle Long say, well, you know what, we don't know who the five guys are yet, but we're really ready to go. What are you saying? What is it that you're saying to me? You know what I mean? You're ready to go. So's everybody else. You better be ready to hit.
Yeah, I guess we're going to see how this little social experiment works as far as resting everybody. You know, we're talking to Mike North
here
on the phone.
Did you hear what you just said?
Yeah.
You're talking about the great National Football League, and you're talking social experiment. Like we're at Berkeley with a doobie in my mouth and playing the guitar. My God.
Hey, I got my tie-dye on. I'm just you're harshing my mellow, Mike. Come on, man. Mike, I heard a vicious rumor about you that perhaps you're a guy that has made a wager or two in your lifetime. Now, I don't need you to confirm nor deny that, but I do have a question about where sports betting is going with the recent Supreme Court ruling. Is this kind of opening up things for everybody, or is there still a place where you can go to your street corner bookie and, you know, bet your firstborn child, or are the days of the thumb breakers numbered? What's going to go on with this new ruling?
Well, first of all, can I hear that play that I made? I would love to hear what play you were talking about, that bet that I made, because I've made a few dumb bets in my life. And believe me when I tell you this, John, but I'll also tell you, sports betting, if it's handled by the casinos, will be great. If politicians get involved, especially here in Illinois, it's going to be, I think, pretty tough. I really do. I think they're going to charge more Jews. I think if the state gets involved, that's going to be an issue. But let me tell you something. It's a brand new day, my friend. We're going to be able to go to the cage. Now, you got to have money to go to the cage. In other words, if you want to bet the Bears, $200 on the Bears, you got to have the money to bet the $200, including the juice, which would be 10%, at $220. Give me the Bears minus two for $220. With the bookie, you call them. Hey, Johnny. Hey, Joey. Hey, Billy.
Hey, yo.
Tommy. Hey, Shirley. Give me the Bears minus two for $500. And the guy may have a nickel in his pocket, but he doesn't have to. Where he runs into trouble is down the line. So they don't mind that. The next thing you know, he's on a payment plan. Hopefully, people will bet moderately, that they won't go crazy. People that have never laid bets. Because it's going to be a rude awakening. I've never seen a sports book close down. So I've been lucky in my career with Vegas Scores and Odds. I'm about 179 over 500. I was told you could never beat them. You can if you do it the right way and run it like a business, which we're going to talk about on the Mike North Advantage on Bears Barroom on Fridays at 9 with Aldo Gandhi. But really, if it's just like horse racing, only it's not as hard. There's two teams. You hopefully pick the right team. You hopefully bet moderately. You don't want to get ruined, and people do get ruined. But I think it's the future, especially for bigger leagues, other leagues like the NBA and Major League Baseball. Football's always had the gambling element in it. It's the MLB, NBA, NHL. Those are the ones that are going to make more of a stride, if you will.
It's going to open up a whole new bag of tricks, so to speak. But it's going to be good if, like you said, if it's handled in moderation. Annie, what's the reaction in Bears Girl? How is the chat room going right now?
The chat room is wanting to talk more about sports betting.
Oh, go figure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's it. And I see today where CBS is not going to do anything with sports betting. They're not going to even acknowledge it. They're a bunch of corporate squares. That's why. While Fox Sports 1 is going to have a gambling segment, but they're going to have mainstream guys. They're not going to get, you know, the only segment you got to have is one that's going to give you winners. Okay? You can give all the reasons you want. I hate looking at sheets, you know, and predictions where these guys tell you about both teams, but at the end don't make a pick. Have some cojones, make a pick. If you lose, you lose. You're not, it's a marathon, not a sprint. It's a season, it's not a week, and you know, treat it that way.
You got to pick your punches. Just like, I'm going to keep going back to these boxer analogies. You got to pick your punches. You got to go with the right one. You got to figure out, find the angle and go with it. So I'm all with you on that one. I got to ask you before we start winding down our time here. This is a personal question for me. I got to ask you. You worked with my uncle Doug Buffone. I listened to you guys as much as I could back in the day before the internet. So I'm trying to get my AM radio to tune in from Pennsylvania. Sometimes it would work. Right. Sometimes it wouldn't. Got to ask you from your point of view, what was it like working with Big Doug? Because he helped me get my radio voice, he helped me get my radio talent underway. He came on my show and helped me out. But you worked with him on a much more professional level. Tell me about Uncle Doug.
Well, first of all, I got to tell you, in 1966, we used to run down to Soldiers Field. Me and my buddies, we'd cut grammar school, 7th, 8th grade. We'd run down to Soldier Field, sometimes Wrigley Field. They used to practice sometimes at Soldier Field because Wrigley Field was being used by the Cubs. Yeah. So we went to Soldier Field one day, and here comes Doug Buffone, Jerry Staley, who was a guard at the time that was dating a Playboy bunny at the time, and so he was one of our heroes, and Dick Butkus. And we just idolized the Bears back then. And my buddy John O'Malley says to Butkus, "Kick ass Sunday, Dick." And Butkus just turns around and starts coming after my buddy. So Doug, Uncle Doug, stops him, Doug. And I say, "Hey, thanks." He goes, "No problem." That was the last time I ever said anything to Doug Buffone until we worked together in the 90s. And what's weird about it is he found out I'd been hired by reading in the Sun-Times. And he had a show called the Doug Buffone Sport Magazine. Mm-hmm. And it was on which is now Comcast, Chicago now.
Right.
It was Sports Channel back then. He came in to my hot dog stand, and he did a segment with me. And this is before I started at the Score. Little did I, and then I told him about the situation. He remembered it. It was freaky because we're talking 20-some years later. And also, we became the best of friends on the air, off the air. I got the chance to hang out with the guy. It was a joy. He was one of the hardest working guys, John. He came prepared. He was loyal. I think that, you know what, when he got sick with the diabetes, it bothered him a lot. It really did. He had a stent put in his heart. So, you know what, he started to get, as he got older, have a few more health problems. But by far, one of the greatest men I've ever met, and one of my favorite football players, too. I got the opportunity to hang out with Walter Payton and Gale Sayers, but as far as a street guy, a regular guy, that was Doug. Period, end of story.
Well, I think if you poll anybody, it's what you see is what you get. And he wasn't, yep. What he was on the radio is what he was off the radio. And and the things that he would do off air, they obviously weren't for publicity's sake, tells a lot about somebody. And I tell
you what happened one night. We were at the Presidential Towers and there was a bar in there. And me and him were having an argument, just bullshitting. You know, if there was a bunch of us, you drink 3-4 days a week, you know, and
oh, sure.
You know how that is. You with the same guys that we, so me and him were having an argument. He picked me up by the collar. My feet were dangling off the ground, man. I mean, Doug had this grip on him. I saw him plant Otis Wilson We were playing a flag football game, and Otis took a run at Doug, and Doug clashed, hit him, and Otis Wilson went backwards and on his back. Unbelievable.
The strength's the last thing to leave you, man. I tell you what, he's a specimen, man. If there's something, I'm not talking about myself, but I am talking about that Buffon Neanderthal gene. There's something that does not, it doesn't leave you.
Oh, there's something wrong with you. There's something definitely wrong with you. You got like machinery in your bedroom and stuff. That scares me. There should only be one type of machinery in your bedroom, and this place, this show's too clean for that. That's all I'm going to tell you.
We're Terminators. That's what we are. Bearco, you need
my
to say something.
I'm going to hire you as my man if I need to pick up some money.
Attaboy. I'll break some thumbs.
I'll tell you what, though. It was the Buffon, yeah, Doug, him and Ed Obradovich. I shook hands with Ed Obradovich like 20 years ago. My hand still bothers me. His whole hand took up my arm. There's a different breed with pro athletes. They don't know their own strength. He used to put people in headlocks, Doug. And, I mean, he didn't know that he was almost breaking somebody's neck. You know what I mean? So Doug was one of the strongest guys I've ever known.
They had a bear claw. And
Mike, before you go, we got some debate happening in the chat room, and they want to know if you would prefer Rams quarterback Jared Goff or Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky.
You know, I'm going to stick with Mitch when it comes to Jared Goff. I'll stick with him for a while, but I would ask Bear. I heard Mike Golick said to me on Twitter that I asked him between Mitch Trubisky or Mayfield. He said he'd take Trubisky 10 out of 10 times. Then 2 days later, I find out Golick's daughter works for the Bears. So you know what? That's just a moot point now. I mean, my God. I mean, it's unbelievable, the nonsense. I would say this. Would you trade Mitch for Sam Darnold? Would you say trade Mitch for Mayfield? All three could be busts, or all three could be successful. I think a lot of it has to do, Bear Grylls, with the guys around you. And we're going to see people that we haven't seen in 20 days, Allen Robinson, guys that haven't been on the field. So, you know what, going to Green Bay, if they could somehow win that game, oh, my God, this town will go crazy. But I haven't talked to many people right now that think they can, but it's the NFL any given Sunday.
Anything
absolutely
can happen.
Absolutely right.
Yep.
Well, Mike, I want to let you go ahead and talk a little bit about this bio movie that might be coming out about developed on your life. That's a pretty big deal. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, my mother. I saw her the other day. The screenwriter met her. He goes, he's never met such a. She's the sweetest glass half empty woman I've ever met. I go, that's nice of you to say, my friend. And we went through the neighborhood. They're going to write the screenplay. They do a treatment. They do a synopsis. They do an outline. Then they start production or pre-production. Then they find out where they're going to shoot. Then there's casting. So this is like an hour, a year and a half process. You know, the funny thing to me is my mother says, well, is it going to be in a theater? I go, yeah, well, it's supposed to be, Bob. But, you know, I started, you know, my wife says, well, you know, those TV movies do good. That's why guys do series. I go, what happens with movies is they're out there for 2 weeks, and the next thing you know, they're on HBO anyway. So
right.
The goal is to get it in a movie theater. I have Adam Rifkin, who's a great director. I have Jeremy Morrison, who's his protege, right-hand man, who comes in from Michigan, and we visit like once every 2 weeks, do tapes, and, you know, he gets his stuff, and then he goes back, and he starts to formulate the plan, and it's going to be from the time I was picking garbage in the parks, not as a whole, you know, not as a person that didn't have anything to eat. I was picking up garbage. I was a garbage man. To the time then I make it to the top of the heap years later on sports radio. So it's going to be fun.
Well, Mike, Brando's dead, so who's playing you?
Listen, I want Ed Norton, Edward Norton.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, we want Edward Norton. He's 49 years of age, and that's the first guy we're going with. But Eldo came up with a good one that we've considered since. If Norton doesn't do it, that would be Justin Timberlake.
The resemblance is striking.
No. Well, you know what's funny? Justin Timberlake looks nothing like me. Edward Norton's the one that looks like me. But if you see this movie, American Made, with Tom Cruise, have you seen that movie yet?
I have not.
It's about a pilot that runs drugs for the CIA and for the Santa Fe.
That was a very good movie.
The actual guy weighed 330 pounds.
So you're saying a likeness isn't going to be a too big of an issue.
Well, I want the likeness, and I think we're going to try the best we can. Edward Norton, that's why he's got the edge. But Justin Timberlake's a guy that can draw. He's about the age I was. I was 40 when I finally started to really hit it. And, you know, the hardest one's going to be for my wife to find the one that plays BB. But we're going to find somebody. But the one, I was shocked when I saw the actual man that they're portraying in American Made. And he's like, he looks like Chris Farley. Chris Farley. And Tom Cruise played him in the movie. I don't want anything like that.
Well, if you need someone to play Doug Buffone and save your buddy from getting his head ripped off by Buckus, you know,
you're
gonna
be in. Everybody's going to be in. We're going to have extras. We hope to do it in Chicago, but if the tax that you, they want to do it in Chicago, and if it is, then of course everybody's going to get it. Then I know. Are you kidding me? Man. You have to fly in. Where are you living, John? Pennsylvania?
Yeah. That's not too far.
Yeah. Are you talking? Doug used to tell me how he'd sit in the deer stand for 2 weeks.
I could go on for days about how he got skunked in the tree stand. He might have been a big shot in Chicago, but he was the butt of everybody's joke once he came back to Western PA.
Oh, yeah.
Not a decade long. Yeah, the only thing I think the gun went off once when he fell asleep, and that's about. He would get screamed at by my brother because he did used to smoke every once in a while. He'd be in the tree stand smoking a cigarette. They're like, no wonder you haven't seen a deer. You're smoking tobacco everywhere. They're not going to come within 2 miles of it.
My favorite story, he tells me, listen, little buddy. He used to call me little buddy. He goes, listen, little buddy, I was in a deer stand and I couldn't find a deer. I go, well, what were you doing? He goes, I was eating a sub. And the crumbs, he dropped part of the bread, and the deer was underneath the tree stand and then took off. I go, you out of your mind. Eating a submarine that crunches when you bite into it. He went, I believe everything you just told me. Smoking up there, probably at a radio. I think he just sat up there to just relax.
Oh, I know. And Mike, let me tell you, I got to tell you this real quick. He was up in the tree stand once he was in there from 8 until 11 in the morning. He got tired. He wanted to take a nap. So he went back to camp, took a nap for about 20, 25 minutes, goes back to the tree stand while he was there. A guy 50 yards from him shot this 10-point buck. He brings it up to my grandpa's house. He's like, where the hell was Doug? This passed right in front of his tree stand right before I shot.
Yeah.
He's like, well, that was for the half an hour. He decided to take a nap. So that, you know what, that goes right in line.
Well, you know what happened, too? We didn't talk. I mean, we were arguing about the hunting because I'm not a hunter. And I said, listen, okay, you want to hunt, that's fine. It's for feed. And I know they overpopulate, blah, blah, blah. But when he told me that he puts deer urine around his tree to draw them in, I go, that's cheating, man. That's rotten cheating, and you know it. It's cheating. That's BS. Right? Is that cheating?
I play to win the game, Mike. You got to do what you got to do. Doe pee all over your boots and walk around in circles. That's what you're going to do to get that big old buck to come up.
Oh, that's funny. You guys are something else. Hey, man, that's funny stuff. It really is. Doug told me a lot of deer hunting stories. He'd go away for 2 weeks, come back. He wouldn't come back as smart as what he left. Believe me.
Oh, man, I tell you, when Uncle Doug came in, they put in those old movies, and they'd watch them. And you know what? He probably has a lot of hunting stories. I bet none of them end up with him shooting a deer.
He never, I don't think, killed a deer in all the years I worked with him.
Shot a lot.
I don't think he ever killed a deer, ever, when he went. I go, how many did you get? He goes, it was a slow week. I go, okay, thank you. Slow week. There's a lot of deer happy that you were there. You weren't going to kill them.
Slow enough to unload the clip and not have anything to show for it.
I appreciate exactly.
All right, hey Bears girl, anything to add before we get we send Mike on his way?
No, other than thanks for joining us tonight, Mike, and it was an absolute pleasure to have my first show with both of you tonight. So thank you.
Sookie, sookie now. Thanks, Bear girl.
Hey, Mike.
Talk to you soon,
hey,
Mike.
Thanks for being on, Mike. We hope to have you on again real soon.
Anytime. Take care, guys. Bye-bye,
you
now.
Too. Mike, here on Buffone 55. You know what? I forgot that we were doing a show for a little bit. I just figured we were going to talk and just BS about hunting and Uncle Doug for the next couple hours. But I guess we got to get down and talk about the Chicago Bears now. So that's just as fun. Bears girl, this is where you shine.
Before we get to the part of the show where you shine, the 5 questions for 55 seconds. I want to let Barflies know that Bears Barroom has a Yahoo Sports Pro Football Pick'em League that we are asking them all to join, and it is totally free. Show us your football smarts by picking the winners of each week's NFL games. Winners will get some Bears Barroom and Fantasy Football Goon swag, including potentially a Buffon 55 cutoff.
Oh,
it's
man.
The Yahoo Sports Pro Football Pick'em. In order to join, just go to bearsbarroom.com and all of the details are there. Are you joining, John?
Oh, of course. Disclaimer there, for that cutoff, muscles are not included, so you gotta provide your own.
Yes, and when people go to our swag shop and take a look at the photos, they are not of John, but we will have photos of John at some point, I'm sure, on the website.
Without a doubt. I can't wait. I got my whole swag bag here today. I'm excited to show it off.
Great. So let's talk about the Bears. And
right.
This part of the show is where I will ask you 5 Chicago Bears related questions, and you have all of 55 seconds to answer. Why 55? That's the number your uncle Doug Buffon wore during his 15 seasons with the Chicago Bears. At the end of the 55 seconds, you will hear this whistle.
Did we get a play school whistle? What are we using?
The hell was that?
We have a bunch of cuts.
The clothing line. We got that.
Are you ready for the very first question?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right, John. What was your take on Matt Nagy's resting the starters on Saturday? As you know, that's the games teams traditionally play their starters for at least half of the game. Now those players will get 20 days to go without facing an opponent before the Packers game in week 1. Do you think he's taking a risk or adapting for the time? And the clock starts now.
Now, I know we talked about this with Mike a little bit, and I kind of disagreed to an extent. I'm okay with this. I don't know if I buy the whole these 3 quarters are the dress rehearsal for the real thing. Like I said before, the NFL is a game of attrition. You can have the most talented, strongest team in the league, and if they're not on the field, it doesn't mean anything. And I think Nagy, the Bears, and some other teams are maybe sending a bit of the message to the NFL saying, hey, we don't need this long of a preseason game. The Bears are playing 5 preseason games, and that really only puts the starters in danger. I love the idea of 2 preseason games. Everyone's guaranteed a home game. I think Jerry Jones actually kind of recommended that. And maybe the ticket prices reflect that accordingly. So for those of you who are adamant that the preseason games give coaches a chance to really find out who they want on the roster, let's add a few more scrimmages then. Team scrimmages all the time, and you don't necessarily put your starters in as much danger. So go ahead and trot out the 4th and 5th stringers and see who's worth their salt in some of these scrimmages. I think Nagy is a forward-thinking guy, and you see problems with Leonard Floyd and Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan and Aaron Lynch. I want those guys on the field. I get it, if the whole sparring analogy, but I want them to be healthy going into the season.
Question number 2. Saturday is the day the dream of playing for the Chicago Bears will come to an end for some players. All NFL teams must cut down their rosters to 53 by 3 p.m. Central on Saturday. The Bears must now cut 37 players. My question to you is, do you expect any surprises on Saturday? And if so, clue us in. The clock starts now.
I don't know if you're going to see any real surprises. I think the running back position is going to be interesting. Howard, Cohen, and Cunningham are locks, and it's quite possible that's all they carry. But if they take 4, it could be our buddy Ryan Nall. It could be Tyquan Mizell. Mizell has shown he's a little bit better in the pass game. Nall could end up being on the practice squad, but it would not surprise me to see him get picked up by another team. Michael Burton, he carries that fullback label, but with his lack of use and, well, you know, his inability to, you know, block as a fullback, that's kind of important. It should prevent him from being on this team. And one thing that could be a surprises if they decide to carry 3 quarterbacks. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it would be surprising. Tyler Bray has played well enough to maybe make the team. Sometimes chemistry in that quarterback room means a lot, and he could play a lot in Trubisky's progression. And with all that, but with all those depth questions on the team, it would be hard to see them keeping them on a 53-man roster. Other than that, I don't expect to see any major shakeups. It's Bellamy. He should be on the wide receiving core because of his special teams play. Wims has had enough game tape to make the team. Kevin White, everyone knows my theory on Kevin White. Everybody in unison, because he sucks. He made me look like a jerk, though, last week. What, he juked a guy out of his freaking jock. It's still laying on the field, and he caught that touchdown pass. So maybe we should hold out hope for Kevin White.
Oh, boy. Question number 3. John, I've got an audio clip of Mitch Trubisky being asked who his favorite receiver is on the team. Listen to this, and then I will give you your question.
I don't play favorites. So we got a very talented group of receivers. We're very happy that all of them are here, and they're a competitive bunch. So all the practices we've been able to get, it's helped us a lot just as far as chemistry, timing, spacing, and just really getting it down. So we've thrown a lot of routes, and it's really helped us. And I can't wait for Sunday night to come roll around to get that opportunity and really just my job is to get the ball to those guys because we got a lot of talent and we're ready to show it this year.
Okay, John, Mitch does not have any favorites, so he claims, but I hope you do because my question is this. Give me the top five players who will lead the team in receptions this year regardless of position. And remember, you've got 55 seconds. Go.
Here we go. I don't know if this is going to be considered a hot take. I think Trey Burton's going to lead this team in receptions this year. Go ahead and throw off the bells and whistles if you want. I saw this tendency for Trubisky to go to Burton when they were on the field. We see Nagy's tendency to work Burton in. And look at Nagy's offense last year. Travis Kelce led the team within Kansas City with 83 receptions. He may not have the most touchdowns on the team, but I think he leads the team in receptions. Then I go Allen Robinson. I said that Bears fans should be patient with him. I think by weeks 4 or 5, he's going to shake off all that rust, and I can see him being a 70 for 1,000 seven guy with the potential to completely overachieve. Then I'm going Tariq Cohen. Showed last year that he is a huge asset in the passing game. A lot of screen passes coming his way. Had 53 catches last year. I can see him staying around that 55 or so. Good enough for third on the team. Then I'm going Anthony Miller. He catches everything thrown his way. I can see him being a 50 to 55 catch guy for maybe 800 yards. And then to round out the top five, I'm going Turbo Taylor Gabriel. He has a chance for some big home run plays. He has a history that he's a mid 30 catch guy with the potential for big yards. So probably about 40 catches, 500 yards, maybe 4 to 5 touchdowns. Those are my top five.
All right. Question 4. Are you a betting man by any chance, John?
Well, yeah, I've bet on some Little League baseball.
All right. So since you are, Vegas has the Bears at 6.5 wins for the season. What's your gut telling you? 7 or more wins or not?
I'm going over, and this isn't even just a fan-sided thing. Look, let's run down the schedule real quick. The Packers, let's just say they lose in Green Bay, and they host Seattle. What's Seattle got this year that's so great? I think they can beat Seattle at home. Then they go at the Cardinals. I think they can beat the Cardinals. Are they going to have is Sam Bradford going to be halfway in the ground by then? Probably. It's week 3. So then they host the Bucks, who aren't going to have Jameis Winston. They're falling apart as it is. They can beat them. They go to the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill, yeah, he played in about 2014. They can beat them. Then I think the Patriots, you can chalk that up for a loss if you want. I think they can beat the Jets. Is it going to be Darnold? They traded Teddy Bridgewater. Is it going to be McCown? They can beat the Jets. Then they go to the Bills, who might be the worst team in the league this year. So I think they can go up to Buffalo and beat the Bills. And then they can split the series with the Lions. They can maybe split the series with the Vikings. And then I think let's say they go to the Giants and lose. I think the Giants are going to be better than people give them credit for. Let's say they go to New York and lose. Let's say they lose to the Rams and then lose to the Packers and they split with the Packers. And then they lose. Let's hedge our bets and say they lose to the 49ers and the Vikings again in the last week. That's still 9-7. So I think that a 9-win team is not out of the realm of possibility with the potential to be even more than that. I think 9 should be the floor this year.
All right. My last question to you is, what do you think has to happen for this Bears team to shock the world and win its first Super Bowl since 1986?
Well, a lot. But I think you gotta say that for any team. We've seen a lot happen before with other teams, but first and foremost, you gotta stay healthy. These guys, we've seen the Bears drop like flies in the past, and if they're gonna make any kind of noise, they have gotta stay healthy on the defensive side of the ball. You gotta make sure Allen Robinson doesn't re-aggravate anything. You gotta make sure Jordan Howard isn't getting overused and being run into the ground, so by the time it's week 10, he can barely move. Trubisky's gotta stay clean. I mean, I'm not saying anything that's profound. I'm not making any statements that somebody doesn't already know. But we got to see how Nagy's offense really does progress. We haven't seen a whole hell of a lot of it in the preseason, so we got to be able to see what it can actually do, when it's time to go. So a lot has to happen. The defense has to overachieve to keep the opponent under 20 points. The offense has to overachieve and play up to its full potential with all the weapons they put around Mitch. First and foremost, it starts with Mitch. Is he going to take that big second year step? I don't know. So we're hoping, but I think Super Bowl, I mean, But yeah, that's I like to be optimistic, but let's pump the brakes just a little bit. Am I being positive enough for you, Bears girl?
You are, and Mike North would have totally slaughtered me on that question if he was still on the air.
I tried for you. I did. You know, I'm doing what I can for you. I always try to be, you know, the positive guy over here, but a lot has to happen. Now, hey, don't forget, this episode of Buffon 55 will be on your podcast stream first thing Thursday morning. In case you missed anything, you want to hear that interview with Mike North again, I know I do. Make sure you share it with your friends and give us a review on any of the delivery systems that you get all your podcasts from. We're on all of them: iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. I think we're on Atari. I mean, we're, you name it, we're on it. So all you have to do is search for Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we're going to pop up. And oh man, don't forget about the swag shop. Bears girl, tell them about the swag shop.
So everyone knows that the Bears season opener is just a couple of days away, but what's happening even sooner than that? The Bears Barroom Swag Shop will be opening this weekend. Stay tuned for more details coming soon.
Oh man, I'm telling you what, you are going to want to just flash this stuff all over the place. It is really cool stuff. I know I'm going to be wearing the cutoff, the t-shirt, and the hoodie all at the same time tomorrow. So it's going to be pretty intense. So don't forget to follow us on Bears Barroom on Twitter, Facebook, all those other social media sites. Follow me at JD Buffon. Follow Bears Girl and all the people over at Bears Barroom. We are a good bunch. Join us back here on Mix LR on Friday, the Mike North Advantage. We got to plug it again. That begins at 9. So if you can't make that, you're going to catch the podcast version. A lot of good stuff coming from Mike North. I had a great time talking to him today. So that's it, Bears Girl. We did it. We survived one show together. Are you still in one piece over there?
I am still in one piece. Honestly, this has been a riot, and I am looking forward to being with you every Wednesday night.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm spent. I got to get out of here. Thanks for tuning in. Same time, same place. We'll see you next week, barflies.